It's a pleasure to be here for you all this afternoon. Before I told the brother I preached this afternoon, man, I always ask myself, you know, am I worthy to get up and stand before my fellow brothers and sisters and bring the bread of life? And it's hard, you know, you think of yourself and you say, am I worthy just to get up and preach God's word? It takes a lot of worthiness and humbleness to understand his word and try to study it. And those things I try to wrestle with myself. Am I humble enough and am I understanding enough to deliver his word? Because you have to do that with understanding and with a sincere heart. My study tonight, and sometimes you ask those different phrases. Some people might phrase, they got a phrase on their car. Your arm's too short to box with God, or different slangs people might use. Well, my study tonight is, the proof is in the pudding. And I'm not talking about banana pudding or something you eat, you know. Sometimes we use that term, people throw it around loosely and say, you know, how you knew that he was right about what he said? Well, the proof is in the pudding, you know. Eventually, it's going to come out. You know, the proof is in the pudding. And that's my lesson title, The Proof is in the Pudding, or better yet, the proof is in the Bible. And we're going to go forth from there. Hebrews 10, verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come to you in the volume of the book. It is written of me, to do thy will, O God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're standing with that, given the proof in the pudding. How we know the Bible is the inspired word? How do we know that? Standing with Hebrews 10, verse 7, as we see there, saying, I come, Lord is telling us, the Holy Spirit, I'm coming to you in the volume of a book. So we know he's coming to us in the volume of a book. In 1 Timothy 3 and 16, as I read, telling you that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Let's go to Revelation 22, verse 18. Revelation 22 and verse 18. Continuing to ask that question, how we know the Bible is the inspired word. Revelation 22 and 18, the verse starts as, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from these words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Standing with that question, how we know the Bible is an inspired word, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. And it says, ye shall not add unto the world, unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall you diminish out from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And we read Deuteronomy 4, 2, also Revelation. God is telling us, you can't take away from it. You can't add to it. It is how I've given it unto you. You got to either take it or leave it. You either worship him or you're not worshiping him. You can't be lukewarm. You're either going to be on God's side or Satan's side. And that's basically what he's telling you. Do not add anything to my word. It's perfect the way I've laid it out. Do not change it. If you look at James chapter 1 and verse 25, stand with that question, how do we know the Bible is the word? How do we know it? Let's stand with that. James chapter 1 and verse 25. And it says, if you have it, But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Look at that word, perfect law of liberty. And you don't know what he's talking about. The perfect law of liberty is talking about this word. The perfect law of liberty is talking about the Holy Bible as he gave it to us. The perfect law of liberty. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Saying, if you do the words that's in this book, the perfect law of liberty, you'll be just in your deed. God gonna bless you, but you gotta do the what's in this book. Stand and let us know the word, the Bible is our word. We're looking at the proof is in the pudding. It's laid out for you right there. The proof is in the pudding. No changing it. It's there. If you don't believe me, read it for yourself. The proof is in the pudding. Second question we might want to ask ourselves, how do we know Jesus is the head authority over us? That question we might ask ourselves, how do we know Jesus is the head authority over us? Well, we want to know that question. What's the proof in the pudding? You know, give me the proof. Give me the facts. Back it up to me. Just don't tell me. Well, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Also, if you look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, I know we're going to a lot of scriptures and a lot of back and forth in the Bible, but to prove what the proof is in the pudding, to give you facts, what's in the Bible, we're going to have to go to different books and explain to let you see, hey, it's just not in one part of the Bible. It's almost in perfect harmony. It's now also not in the Old Testament, but it's in the New as well. So it's in perfect harmony within each other. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and you will see, standing with 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, explaining about the word. I'm going to explain that a little bit more, talking about the word, how we know Jesus is the authority. He is the word. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us, that's talking about there's more than one in the beginning, let us make man in our image. God didn't say, let me make it in my image. He said, let me make it in our image. And you remember back there when I just read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, when it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And that's why back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he's saying, let us make man in our image. Let you know there's more than one, but they're one, but there's more than one at this time. Also backing up and staying with that, a look at John chapter 1, the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. Backing up why Jesus is our authority over us. John, chapter 1. You remember back in 1 John 5 and 7, explaining the Father, the Word, Holy Ghost. And I also went over Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image. This is further backing it up and explaining why Jesus is our authority. 1 John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you would, drop down to verse 14 for time's sake, please. Verse 14 for time's sake. And it says, further explain why Jesus is our authority, why he was there in the beginning, why he's been there the whole time. Throughout the Bible, they've been foretelling he's coming. The book of John, chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They explained that Jesus, being a man, came as flesh. He was there in the beginning with God and the Holy Ghost, and he humbled himself and made himself flesh to be among us so he can serve his purpose that God had laid out for him. All right, I'm going to get you to thumb flip one more time. Let me get you to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Further backing up why Jesus is answering that question, putting the proof in the pudding, giving proof why Jesus is the authority, why he's the final word, he's the mediator, he's the one we got to go through. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and it says, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. Now stop right there. If we're going to have the same mind that Jesus had, that means we can't be going 25 different directions. We can't be worshiping in 25 different directions. He laid out a final plan for us in the Holy Inspired Word. As I read earlier in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, lo, I come to you in the volume of a book. It's in his inspired word. Let's get back to it. Verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Remember what I said? He humbled himself. I mean, Jesus right there with God and the Holy Ghost. You know, he doing what the Father told him to do. He humbled himself. He knew what God wanted him to do. As he told us in the book of Matthew, if it be thy will, pass this cup from me. It wasn't the will of God for the cup to pass from him. He had to die on the cross for the sin of man. So he humbled himself and became a man and became obedient unto death. Now, if Jesus became obedient unto death, walked this earth, became a man, dealt the affliction that we deal with, dealing with sin, death, dealing with people scorning him, he became faithful unto death. That telling us we got to be faithful unto death. We can't decide to be a Christian one day and then the next day flip-flop. We got to be faithful unto death. I know it's a tough road. I know it's a thin line to walk, but we still got to walk it. Even I got to ask that to myself. You got to walk that line, no matter how tough it is. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I think Brother Lyle was talking about that this morning in Bible study. That name is very important. That name, Jesus, is a name above everybody. A name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, with every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things on the earth. Now stop right there, that verse 10. Now I'll explain to you that he was the word, came in the beginning. He was there the whole time. Now verse 10 tells us Jesus is over everything. Everything in the earth, everything in heaven. Only person he ain't over is God, and God's over him. We got to go through Jesus. Case closed, no, the proof is in the pudding. It's in the pudding. As people might say sometimes, the proof is in the pudding. It's there. You can read it for yourself. Also sticking with asking that question, I got a little bit of time. If Jesus is our head authority, where did his church come from? Did his church start 20 years ago where the man went and built a building and decide how worship should be? It didn't start like that. It didn't. It started way back. But I'm going to give you the proof in the pudding. Let's go back. Let's look at look over in Isaiah chapter 2. Like I said, the old and new go together. Old and new go together. Isaiah chapter 2. Just asking that question. What is the proof in the pudding? Give me the proof in the pudding. Well, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the proof in the pudding. Chapter 2, we'll start at chapter 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above hills in all nations, and shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So that's telling me the word, which is Jesus, the Holy Bible, is going to come out of Jerusalem. His church is going to start there, out of Jerusalem. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. I know I'm doing a lot of Bible flipping, guys, but it's to prove the point. Acts chapter 1 and verse 2. And at this particular time, Jesus is talking to the apostles. He wants them to wait in Jerusalem to receive the power from on high. Very important, and this is on the day of Pentecost. Chapter 1 and verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, talking about Jesus, had given commandments unto the apostles, talking to the apostles, and he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining of the kingdom. Talking about pertaining of the church. The kingdom. The kingdom is coming. Been talking about the church. Kingdom is coming. Of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them. Who was them? He talked to the apostles. Them that they should not depart from where? Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he hath heard of him, he heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. If you would drop down to verse number 8, please. But ye, and then this Jesus talked to the apostles once again. But ye shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. Telling you that the church is first going to start in Jerusalem, and then going to stand out from Jerusalem. They were where it first started. If the church started 100 years ago, then it might not be the right church. You just need to check into it. Jesus started his church in Jerusalem. If you would, go over to verse number 36, chapter 2, and verse 36. And just to get you up to speed for time's sake, at this time the apostles were there at Pentecost. All of them were there in one accord, and they received the power from high. And there was there many men of different nations, because they came there today at the day of Pentecost to worship. And there might have been a person there of Hebrew, might have been Arabian, and all talked different languages. And at that time, when the power came on high unto the apostles, all the apostles understood the men in their own tongue. And at the time, the people thought the apostles were drunk, but they wasn't. They were just talking their own tongue from the power from on high. And as the people understood them more, Peter preached unto them. And the thing that they asked after Peter preached unto them, and that's the point where we're at verse 36. If you would look at chapter 2, Acts verse 36. And it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Right there in that one verse, you can understand that if someone told you, you can have your life, your soul saved, and you haven't repented, and you haven't been baptized in the Lord's church, then you haven't been saved. Right there. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added, not joined. You can't join God's church. You have to be added to his church. If you go somewhere and they tell you, you got to join our church, you got to sign a letter, or you got to do this, do that to be part of our church, that's the wrong church. They can't put you in. They can't put you out. In God's church, you have to be added to his church. The only person that puts you out of God's church is you. When you don't do his word, that puts you out of his church. Added unto them, about 3,000 souls were saved that day. And they continually steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayers. But drop on down to verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. The church started that day. Church of Christ. If your church didn't start 2,000 years ago, we need to start rethinking and investigating and looking at the proof in the pudding. Is this the right church to be in? And another question you might want to ask yourself, how do we do the will of Jesus? How do we do the will of Jesus? Well, we looked at the proof that the book is the word. The book is what we go by. We prove why Jesus is the authority. We also prove why the church started in Jerusalem. If you're going to do the Lord's will, you look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, where it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You also look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the other five things that you're going to have to do to turn your life over to God and over to his church. You're going to have to hear the word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You also got to believe. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And you also have to repent. As we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you also got to confess. You got to confess before men. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, it says, wheresoever they shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And also, the last thing you must do, you must be baptized. Go back to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. It says, he that is baptized shall be saved, and he that not shall be damned. And if you are a Christian, and you have fallen waveringly, and you have fallen out of grace with the Lord, what say you? Repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. This is my lesson. The proof is in the pudding. I just hope, I'm still working on myself. I got a lot to do to work on myself to get myself where I need to be. I'm not perfect. I pray to the Lord on way to work in the morning every day to work on me. But the proof is in the pudding. That's something that you cannot deny. It's coming out the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Go back and study. The proof is in the pudding. Only thing I hope to do when I leave this earth, it's said like the Apostle Paul did. I run my race. I have run well. I have done my time. I just hope I can say that before I say my last breath. If you would, we'll sing our invitational song.